Look with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11 and verse 23. Mark 11, 23, as I just read something just for a brief text, and then we're going to go on to some new ground today, but I want to read Mark 11 and 23. So how many times should you read Mark 11, 23 till you know things? A lady says on the phone, said, let me ask you something. Is it true that in the Bible that it says that you can have what you say when you pray? I said, yes, it is. Why you ask? I just wanted to know, and hung up on me. And this was somebody that talks generally, you know, it's a third, you know, you get them phone calls sometimes, and yeah, it's going to be an hour, oh Lord. But, you know, an hour phone, and it was split second. And I realized at that point in my life that God wanted me to start talking right. He wanted me to start speaking His word, the word on the inside of you. And again, as we read these scriptures, I know there's people out there that will badmouth you and criticize you and blame you for everything and say you into this and you into that and cultish and all this kind of stuff and name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. They won't give you all kind of words for all of that kind of stuff. Every bit of that. Every bit of it. I told somebody one time, we was out somewhere, I told them, they said, you know, this name it and claim it stuff. You believe it? I said, yeah. I said, we're fixing to buy lunch. I said, let me buy you lunch with some of this name it claim it money I got. They didn't disagree with that part of it. They went ahead and did that. Anyway, I mean, you know, there's people out there everywhere that will do that, everywhere. Let me punch myself back in. All right. Okay, so we looked at that, and we looked in the book of Hebrews. We saw what the book of Hebrews says to us about our conversation and the things that we say and the how that God says to us, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And He says that so that we might boldly say it. And so be bold about speaking the word right in the face of problems. Right in the face of adversary. I know that it might be difficult to look if you're going through a problem in your body and to look at your body and say, and you see yourself mangled and torn apart and that kind of stuff, and you see yourself and you're trying to scrub up a little prayer here or there. I can understand that, but why not boldly speak to your circumstance or situation? Because it don't matter how much you messed up. We got a God that can take care of you. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Speak to yourself right in the face of adversity. Right in the face of that, that's saying to you, hollering and screaming, no, 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 no. Why not speak right back into it? Yes, 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 yes. My God can. Amen? God can. Hey, Alan wrote a book many years ago called God Can. God Can. Let that be sinking into your heart and life that God can. All right, look with me to Psalms 141. Follow me there, Psalms 141. We looked in the book of Psalms, and we talked about a number of things that Psalms said this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, say the redemption. Speak the redemption in your life. How many Jesus bought you back? Somebody say, amen. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. I'm redeemed. Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I've been redeemed from sickness and disease. I've been redeemed from poverty. I've been redeemed from hatred and bitterness. I've been redeemed from all these things that are against me. I've been redeemed in Jesus' name. Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Didn't say let the redeemed of the Lord not say so. It didn't say let the redeemed of the Lord say the bad. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say the so of the redeemed. We looked at that. We saw in Psalms 19:14 where David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. I mean, ask yourself when you speak, when you talk, are your words acceptable to God? Is He pleased in what you are saying? I mean, if you see a vision and God's headed toward you with soap in one hand, you pretty well know something going on in your mouth. I mean, get it right. Get it right. Is it acceptable inside? We saw that David said in Psalm 34, verse 1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise will be continually in my mouth. I was so moved by hearing Brother Copeland say a number of years ago when he talked about healing and people was criticizing him for confessing the word of God. And they said, you know what? If you're not healed, what would you say? Brother Copeland said, I'd say I'm healed. And if the next day you weren't, what would you say? I'd say I'm healed. And if you went that way for 10 years, what would you say? I'd say I'm healed, Brother Copeland said. And he said, what about on your dying deathbed? What's the last thing you'd say? Brother Copeland said, the last thing I'd say is I'm healed. Glory to God. I'm healed. You stay with it. You don't let it continually be in your mouth. Just because the adversary rises up strong, hard, and big, and large against you, doesn't mean you stop. If you do, the devil knows your stopping point, and he'll get you there every time. It is not when you begin or when you make a confession of faith or you begin talking to things of God. It is really not there that our test is. It's our test becomes when the adversary shows up and tests us on where we stand or not. And that can happen this week, this month, next year, 10 years, who knows? It can happen various times in your life where the devil will show up and try to test you and tempt you and to find out really what you are made out of and if you truly will stand on the Word of God. And when you go past that, you go past that place in your life, then the victory comes in your life. Again, I could just give instance after instance after instance after instance of times that people have said no, business has said no, things have said no, body has said no, mind has said no, world has said no. And if you stopped at those no times, my life would have been a no. But if you got your yes in you bigger than the no that's in them, you're going to overcome those no's. And you'll make it through. So don't get discouraged just because a bad time might hit you or come up against you or something difficult in this life might arise. Don't get discouraged. It's there. God is there for you, and he will bless you. He will bless you. God's blessing is on you. I told you before about how God blessed me different things. Sheila and I went just the other day, and we bought a floor jack for our car. And this is a big floor jack. So it was like $130. And so we went in. It was on sale, so I said, it's time to go get it. And we went in, and we got it and that kind of stuff, bought it, and after we paid for it, already paid for the thing, the manager stopped us and talked to us about this, that, and other, and said, I got to give you some more off of it, and gave me another $28 off of that thing. That's what I'm saying. What it is, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, doesn't it? And the blessing of the Lord would constantly be with you and blessing you in life. If you believe it, if you stand for it. Now, I want to believe it. I want to stand for it. I hope you do too. Okay, Psalms 141, verse 3. What happens is bad stuff. Set a watch on your mouth, or set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Set a watch before your mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Living Bible says this. Help me, Lord, to keep my mouth and shut and my lips sealed. If you can't speak a word of faith, well, I saw the word shut in it, but I better stay away from it. If you can't speak a word of faith, seal up your lips. Don't say anything. Jesus prayed for people, and then apostles did too. And they'd come in, everybody be whining and crying and moaning and groaning. And what did he say? Y'all get out, go outside. Take it outside. All this moaning and groaning and crying, just take it outside. We're going to do some praying inside. We're going to take care of everything. You just go out there. And what did God say to Moses? And what Moses said to children of Israel? God says to them, Moses cries to God and says, you know, we can't get across the Red Sea. God said, what are you crying to me for? That's what he said. He said, what are you talking to me for? I want you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And sometimes that's what you have to do in your life. If you've got a mouth that won't stop, speaking doubt and unbelief and fear and failure, zip it up. Somebody say, zip it. Or do the Barney Five. Nip it up. Nip it in the bud. I mean, just cut it off. If that's all you can say, if that's all I can say, cut it out. Amen? Why? Because it's taking your life the way you're talking. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as you speak, you are judged or condemned based on the words that you have spoken. And so Scripture teaches us that. So there's times in life, if you got to a place, you might just need to tell somebody, you know, I can't talk. Why not? Because anything I'm going to say is doubt and unbelief. Okay, let me talk for you. You're blessed in the name of the Lord. God's on your side in the name of the Lord. He's with you when you rise up in the name of the Lord. He's with you all the day. He's with you when you go to bed. God will take care of you. Your enemies will come against you one way. They'll disperse seven kind of ways. And if you'll speak that enough to yourself, those same words will come out your mouth. Then unzip it then. Then go ahead and unzip it. Let it out. Let the praise and the worship of the Lord. But if you're not, you've got to make a decision. I'm just not going to talk that way. Not going to talk that way anymore. I mean, you got to do that about life. You got to do that about whatever you say in life, whatever you speak in life. If you got a foul mouth and you've been saved longer than 1 minute, you better get rid of that foul mouth or get saved again or whatever you want to call it. But I know this, true salvation to get the foul mouth out of you because the foul mouth came from the heart. Right? Okay? And so get out of your heart. It won't come out your mouth. You don't need a bunch of Christians all over this world lying and cussing. Amen? And you hear them like I don't tell you, well, I'm a child of God. You are. Somebody should have told your mouth you're a child of God because it sure didn't come out your mouth. No. I believe in real salvation. I believe when you get saved, you'll love everybody. Your heart will change on the inside. The desires you had in the past for greed and self-ambition and those kind of things, to hurt people, to wound people, to curse, that leaves you when you get born again, because old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. Amen? And if your mouth hadn't found that out yet, zip it up till it does. Get it taught, trained, teach it. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth. Book of James said, cursing, blessing come out of the same mouth. That ought not be. No, ought not be. Don't let cursing come out your mouth. Or just things are not appropriate to say. Everything's not a curse word, so to speak. Something's just not appropriate to say around everybody. I mean, you need to guard your mouth. What would you say? I mean, you got little kids, you send them to school, and they cuss out the teacher. Teacher called you in, said, your little child cussed you out. You say, what the blank blank they say? Now you know where the child got it from, right? You know where the child got it from. No child going in cussing out no teacher. Mama and daddy don't need to be standing at the bus when the child gets off to cuss out the teacher either. Amen? Or the bus driver. Amen? Amen. My goodness, this world turned upside down. All right, okay. Look in the book of Romans chapter 10. Let's work through this just a little bit in the book of Romans. I'm way behind. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Look at this, Romans 10, verse 5. Let me show you something, because right here, this should stop a lot of critics in this area. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. When you read the first five books of the Bible, they is called the law, the Torah. Not the rest of it. The rest of it, you got history, you got poetry, you got the major prophets and the minor prophets. But the first five books of the Bible are called the law that God gave to Moses. And there's the big 10 in there, but there's 613 other laws that are in there as well. And so Moses described righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You keep one, you got to keep them all. What Paul talked about. And so, in that regard, he talked about that law. Some people think they are righteous based on the law. Not so. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness we have under the new covenant is a righteousness which is of faith. And what? Which of faith speaks. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. How many are righteous by faith? Say amen. Then you do what? You speak. Because the righteousness which is by faith speaks. On this wise, not just any way, but speaks this way. Say not in your heart who shall ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. And you say, when do people say that? Oh, a lot of times. Oh, if the good Lord would just come down and touch me and help me. Oh, if Jesus was here. Y'all wouldn't treat me this way if Jesus was here. If Jesus was here, he'd straighten all y'all out. I'd probably be the only one left. But anyway, he'd get all y'all. If Jesus was just here. And then we go into the prayer. Oh, God, why don't you just show up in my life? Oh, Jesus, would you just come down just this one time and kill all my enemies? Lord Jesus. And you're talking to Jesus. And oh, if Jesus was here, that wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't say that if Jesus was standing in front of you. And we always want to call Jesus down. Oh, if Jesus would just come down and lay his hand on me, I know I'd be whole then. Well, if Jesus was here. We say all those things. And that's what he's talking about. And notice what he said. Look what he said. Verse 6, righteousness of faith speaks on this wise. Say not. Everybody say not. In other words, who's going to go to heaven to bring Jesus down? Don't say that. You say, well, don't you want Jesus here? Yes, but he is. He is here. Where's he at? He's in you. He's in me. He's already here. What I want him to be here for if he was here? What if my wife gave me a big old kiss and I said, boy, if my wife was here, she'd kiss me good. And Sheila just gave me a big kiss. I'd probably get something right after that. Wow, you know. No, that'd be foolish. That'd be insult. No. Notice this, verse 7. Or who shall say descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. Oh, if Jesus came back from the dead, he'd touch my heart and he'd touch my life. He'd straighten me out then. That's what he said. Don't say those things. I mean, if you're living your life based on whether Jesus comes or he doesn't, or comes or goes, you know, you don't really have much of a prayer, I don't guess, until the rapture takes place, do you? And so whenever the rapture takes place between here and there, that's the next time I know he's coming. And he ain't coming all the way to earth then. He's just coming to the sky and going to call up all them that believes in him. And so he's going to be in the sky. You're still going to be on earth. Jesus, if you just come on down a little bit more, then I might go in the rapture. No, you're going to have to go up to be a believer to go up. No, don't say all that stuff. I mean, I know sometimes in religious circles, it sounds so religious or humble. And we sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. Remember that song, Kumbaya? All the little teenagers who want to gather around a campfire and sing, Kumbaya. What does it mean? Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. You just come by here. He came by here 2,000 years ago. How come you missed it? Amen? And he's still here in his body. He sent the Holy Spirit here to reveal himself to us while he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And now, as we believe in him, we're sitting right there with him. So why are you saying come by here with him when he's sitting right beside of you? Amen? That's what he says. Wow, this is simple. But he said, now notice. But, verse 8, but what does faith say? The righteousness of faith don't speak that way. Oh, if we just get that in our heart and mind. The righteousness of faith does not speak that way. I mean, you can carry it out. Well, if God would just supply my financial need, if he just come down and bless me, if he do this, I understand that prayer, but that's not the righteousness of faith. Because the righteousness of faith is that he has already supplied all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The righteousness of faith is God's never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. The righteousness of faith says the man that worships the love of God, riches shall be in his house. That's what the righteousness of faith says. And you still want him to come down to do all those things, which he said he's already done in the righteous. And so we have to walk by faith before him. Somebody say amen. Now, notice, but what does it say? How does it say? What it says is the word. If I say the word, King James says nigh, you can say close, but the word is nigh you. The word is close to you. The word of God is close to you, nigh you, where it is, even in your mouth. The word of God is close. It's in your mouth. My mouth is full of the word of God because the word of God is close to me from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's close to me. The word is in me and it is in your heart. What is it? What is it? That is the word of faith. I had somebody criticize me one time, and they said, you know what, you're just one of these faith preachers. I bet you even a member of the Word of Faith camp, aren't you? I said, I absolutely am. I am. He said, who's the head of the Word of Faith camp that you know about? I said, well, I know you're probably going to mention Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, Brother Capps, Brother Fred Price, or Creflo. You might mention any of those guys, and they're good, and we're all in there with them. Thank God for them. But that ain't the head of the Word of Faith camp. Paul said he even preached it. I can take this thing back 2,000 years ago. It ain't something that just got started in the last 40, 50 years. It's been going for 2,000 years because Paul said it's the Word of Faith which we preach. And Paul preached, I believe, it's good enough for me and you. How about that? Amen. So I am absolutely word of faith. It's not one criticism at all. And people try to criticize. Are you one of them word of faith? Yes, I am. I am. I am a word of faith person. I do. If you want to call it that, I do blab it and grab it. I do that. If that's what you want to call it profanely, that's okay. That's fine with me because I got it. You know what? You can say it don't work all you want to, but I've lived this thing long enough now to I got it. I got some of these things. I got these things that the Bible says. I know how I got them. And I got them the way Jesus said that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll have what you say and it works. Amen. It works. It works. It's too late for them people, the gainsayers. I found that out. The only people that, that get mad and upset when you stand on the Word of God and you begin speaking in the Word of God, those people don't try to help anybody. They're not trying to do somebody good. I mean, I've seen a lot of people that are sick and hurting and broken and poverty and different things in their life till I know the answer. And I know what they need to do, and I'm willing to tell it to them. But to stand back and say, well, we just never know what God to do. There's some things I don't know what God to do. I don't have all the wisdom in the world. You don't either. But there's a lot of things I do know what God will do. And I know this. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. And what he spoke in the Word of God, he said, if you'll speak it, you'll believe it in your heart, it'll come to pass in your life too. Amen? Absolutely. So notice it, verse 8. Verse 8, it's the word's nigh, it's close to you, it's in your mouth. What is it? It's the word of faith, which what? We speak. Everybody say, I speak the word of faith. What I am, I speak the word of faith. Verse 9, what is it? Well, it's a foundational principle of being saved, that if you shall confess with your mouth, say something with your mouth. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess Jesus is Lord. In other words, I'll never tell myself what to do again in life. I'll never do what I want to do again in life. I'll never go where I want to go. It won't be my will anymore. It will be His will. Now, as I serve Him, His will becomes my will. As I become renewed in mind, heart, and spirit, it does. But my base confession is, Lord God, I'm all yours. You, why? Because you are Lord. If you say do this, I do it. It's just over. You say do it, I do it. When Cecil and I got saved in October of 75, that we got saved. When we got saved that month, we got saved on Sunday morning before we went to church. Went to church that day, got saved. And Sunday night for the first time, and we never went to church Sunday night. We barely could stand Sunday morning. But we, you know, sinners. But we didn't go to church, and we went religiously on Sunday morning. I didn't miss a Sunday morning service in my whole life, maybe about four, my whole life. Time I know anything about anything, 5 or 6 years old to this day. I've never missed maybe 4 or 5 Sunday morning services in my life. Now, a lot of time I did it religiously. What's that mean? Religion. I did it because my dad said, that's what we do. Okay, that's what we do. Never questioned it, and always did it. And I did it out of habit. But then when I got saved, I did it because I wanted to do it. I did it then because I asked myself, I said, what do Christians do? They said, go to church. All right, I go to church. I said, when did my church have church? Well, they have it Sunday night. I said, well, I go to church on Sunday night now. Just that quick. I now go to church on Sunday night. And I was there. I'd been playing music all my life, but not in church choir. And for the first time that night, I got up, Sheila and I went up and sang in a choir. After they heard me sing in the choir, they invited me to play guitar. That's the truth. That's the truth. But anyway, so I went in the choir, play music. Why? Because the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do it. Do it with all your might, do it unto the Lord. So whatever they needed, I did it. And ask more questions. Why? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'd always paid my tithes, so that was not an issue. You always wrote out a check, gave her money. They raised money for something extra, we gave extra. They did something extra, we did it. Why? Because that's what we do now. We didn't think about it. We didn't argue with ourselves. We didn't try to argue with the issue. We just said, that's who we are. Why? Jesus is Lord now. Why was Jesus Lord? Because exactly what it said here, we have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. See, it's just not just somebody say, well, I walked in an altar and made a little confession. It's more than that. It's confessing the Lord Jesus. Not just confessing Jesus, but the Lord Jesus. Jesus becomes Lord of our lives. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Bow your head, close your eyes. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I am now yours. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, no one loves me like you love me. No one cares for me like you care for me. And so gladly, I trust you with my life. And you are my Lord. I will follow you all the days of my life. I will live for you all the days of my life. My words shall be your words. My thoughts shall now be your thoughts. All that I am, all that I ever will be because of you. I'm yours, Lord. Always and forever. I love you and I give you all praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So what does it say in Romans 10 verse 9? What have we done? You have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. My friend Marion Orensdorf said this, one of the greatest soul winners I ever met in my life. He said this, and if you get somebody to say that, then they're half saved. And Marion, what's the other half? He said, and they believe in their heart. So they believe that what they said. As you believe what you say, that brings both components together. You have confessed, you have believed, and that is in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. The word shall is the strongest thing you can say in the King James language, shall. You shall be saved, not might be saved. One day you will get it. You shall be saved. Why? He explains it, verse 10. Here's why it works. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It's with his heart that he does that. And what does he do? With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How many believes that confession is made unto salvation? T.L. Osborne wrote a book about years ago, and he called it like this, that confession brings possession. Confession brings possession. He actually got it from E.W. Kenyon that wrote about it. It brings it. Don Gossett went on about it years and years later, got to meet him, and he wrote about it as well. The same thing. Our confession brings the possession of that thing. In other words, you want to possess it? Confess it. Because that's what he said right here. He said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, I learned that years ago, as you now have too. But I also learned that confession, as it says right here, that confession is also made unto healing. Healing works just like salvation, verse 9 and 10. Ain't no difference in receiving healing than there is salvation. Now, the church has made it different, sadly. But there's no difference in receiving healing as there is in receiving salvation. There's no difference in receiving all your needs met as it is receiving salvation. It's all based on the same thing, to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Then you can have what that is that you believe in your heart and confess your mouth. Of course, it's in the Word of God. The foundation is the Word of God that we're believing in and we're confessing. And so whatever it is in your life today that you face, whatever circumstance, situation, it doesn't matter. Whatever obstacle that you face in your life, why not believe what God has said about it? Not only believe it, why not start saying it? Why not just start speaking what God has said? And whatever God has said, whatever God has spoke, then that's what we are going to do. Look with me, last place, and we're going to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. This is the Bible way of doing things. And not Leon Bible, but the Holy Bible way of doing things. Well, there's a Leon Bible way too, but anyway, that don't get you many places. But 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 will. Or 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, we have the same spirit of faith. Everybody talk about old Father Faithful Abraham. Well, thank God for Father Faithful Abraham. But I got that kind of faith. Have you got that kind of faith? Like Father Abraham? Absolutely. We have the same spirit of faith. What about Joshua stands up, looks at the sun, tells it stop? And it does. What about Moses, the parts of the Red Sea? My. What about Elijah? Says it'll rain when I say it rains. What about Elisha? Says it'll start, you know, it'll be a famine when I say there's a famine. What about Elisha? Elisha was such a man of God. He did twice the miracles of Elijah. And when he died, the problem was, you can look it up. You can see it in Scripture. You can see 18 miracles of Elijah that I can show you verse by verse and book by book. 18 miracles of Elijah. Elisha wanted a double portion from Elijah. Of the anointing that was upon him. And he said, if he saw him when he go up, then he'd get it. He did. He saw him. And so Elisha got a double portion. And then he goes to the end of his life, and Elisha has recorded in the Bible 37 miracles. He's one short of 38. Imagine that. God said he'd give him a double portion. And he has, Elijah has 18 miracles. Elisha has 37. And he dies one short. A few days after he dies and is buried, they are taking another man to a funeral, and the enemy comes in on them, and they want to get rid of the body real quick. And they take that body and they dump it in Elisha's tomb. And when he does, boom, he pops back alive. Somebody say 38. That's what it would have been. Got him where he needed to be. Absolutely. How many knows God never lies? Well, I got that kind of faith. You got that kind of faith. Notice what it said. We got the same spirit of faith according as it is written. See, that's the key. People want to bad mouth. Oh, you didn't believe in God for, you know, purple cuckleberries on a tree. No, I'm not. I don't care what color the cuckleberries on a tree are. I'm not believing God for that. According as it's written. I'm believing for what's written in the Scripture. I believed according to what's written. I believed. And therefore, I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Stand up with me this morning. I want you to quote this verse with me. Don't close it yet. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and stand up with me. Come on. Stand up on your feet. Stand up, stand up, stand up. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Say this. Say, I have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Say it again. I believe. Therefore, have I spoken. Somebody asked you what you run your mouth about. I believe. Therefore, I have spoken. What you confessing. I believe. Therefore, I have spoken. Let that be your life and your world changes. Amen. God Almighty, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, for the presence in Jesus' holy name. Stretch your hands toward heaven. Stretch your hands toward heaven. If anything's going wrong in your body physically, believe and speak in Jesus' name. Believe and speak in Jesus' name. Say this. Say, body, I believe you are healed by the stripes that were placed upon Jesus' back. It was written, I therefore believe it, I speak it, I have it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe, I speak in Jesus' name. Say this, lift your hands toward heaven. Say, Father, I believe, as it was written, that never are the righteous forsaken. Never are their seed begging for bread. I believe I am blessed beyond measure. I speak it. I say it. I confess it. I have it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I got it. Somebody say, I got it. Bless the Lord. We got it. Amen. God's good. Turn to somebody this morning as you dismiss. Tell them, I got it. Come on. I got it. Say it. Don't be afraid to speak it. I got it.